that's all right. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, I believe it is. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech, unison, and beseech. Sanica, Sanaka, or hear what it is, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, turn true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Notice that book is B-O-O-K. Speaking of one book, and that's the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. We're talking to you about the church. Some people, the church some people at church could not do without, the church, Faith Baptist Church. We need people that this church could use. And Paul right here in Philippians says he organized many churches. And Paul did. He organized many churches. Why? Because he was a missionary. And that's what Paul's desire was, to go out and to start churches itself. Some disappointed him. Some pleased him. But we have to look on them both. We have to look at the disappointment. And plus, we have to look at the ones that pleases us. It should not please us. It needs to please the Lord. But if it doesn't please us, it's sure not going to please the Lord. The churches that was at Philippi was the favorite churches of Paul's day. And of all the churches that Paul had went out in his missionary journey and established churches, Philippi was his favorite churches. Why? Because them people there, they knew all about God. This day and time that we're living in, we have so many people today that's in church, they don't know anything at all about God. They don't know who God is. They don't know how they came about. Some say, I come from that tadpole. Or I come from that ape. Or I come from something like that. I want to ask them a question, though. Who created the tadpole? Who brought life to the ape? And who, when I hear and talk to people and tell them about God, it wasn't me, it wasn't you, it wasn't nobody else. It was God. Because when I got to know God, I got to know Him on His terms. On His terms and His terms alone. And Paul said, this church was His crown and joy. The Philippi church, the Philippian church, where the people went to, he called that his crown and joy of a church. And what that tells me is that his ministry did not go unknown and unheard of. His ministry went on just like the Lord had asked him and told him day by day to do. And we have to remember in serving God, we just don't serve Him one day out of a week. It's 268 hours a week. 168. We're supposed to serve Him and we're supposed to be dedicated to Him for all 168 hours. Not just two on Sunday. One on Sunday night, one on Wednesday night. And then if we happen to have a revival, yeah, we may come every night. But let me ask you something. Who took prayer out of the church? Who took prayer out of the church? Who took prayer out of this church? I didn't. You didn't. Satan himself seen that little crevice in our life that he could wiggle his way in to our life and say, oh, you've prayed that before. You don't need to pray it again. God knows all about it. God says He knows everything. So if He knows everything, He knows where they live at, who's on your mind, who's on your heart. Well, Christians who are a crown and joy to a church and to the pastor, a church could not get along without some. And who are they? The faithful folks, the faithful ones that come to the house of the Lord. The Bible does not command for greatness. The Bible don't command for greatness. But it does command us to be faithful. It does for the faithfulness, faithful in prayer, faithful in giving, faithful in living, faithful in serving. We need to be faithful to all these things. And that's one thing I really can't even preach on any of this. Really, going further in what I just read. Because you are faithful to all of these. You're faithful in your prayer life. You're faithful because I feel your prayers. I feel them every day. Because if I didn't feel them, I wouldn't be standing here up here today. And I know that you pray. We all pray. We pray one another. We pray for something better than what we have today. Faithful in giving. Faithful in the tithes and the offerings that we give to the missionaries. To where the missionaries can go out here and can establish new churches, just like Paul did. Yeah, we got some establishing some Bible-believing, hell-hating, King James Version churches. They're creating, who are they creating them for? They're creating them for God Almighty. That's who they preach that new churches to. An individual that goes out and says that they're going to start a church somewhere, and they start a church, and they say, well, we're not going to use the King James Bible because a whole lot of people don't understand it. A whole lot of people don't understand it. Now, what the pastor's telling them, and telling me, I don't understand the Word of God. I don't understand the King James Bible. So I'm going to have to be something a little more simple where I can understand it. Where they'll come up with all these big words and these words that I can't pronounce. I'm sure that in Paul's day, the people back then, they knew of words that some of them had spoken. And Paul had spoken to him and was talking to somebody and talking to other people. But they couldn't even pronounce the names of some of them. So it's not, I mean, I'm not bashful because I get up here and I can't pronounce the name. Because, see, God's already pronounced the name. God had Paul, the writer of this book, pin it down. So it's not up to me to worry about that. It's up to me to worry about the people and giving the people something that is simple and down to the truth. I'm a simple-minded man. I am. It ain't nothing fancy about me at all. I don't know no big words. And if I knew a big word, if I knew how to pronounce that big word, then I'd have to have a dictionary up here to look it up and tell you exactly what it means. Faithful in giving. Faithful in living. Faithful in living? Yeah. Who are we living for? We're living for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That's who we're living for. Faithful. We got to be faithful to Him. And what we do day by day that will bring Him honor and bring Him glory. Because if we don't bring Him honor and we don't bring Him glory, you think He's going to bring us anything? No. No. And faithful in serving. Are we faithful in serving Him and just Him alone? Are we faithful in serving the pastor? Are we faithful in serving the deacon? Are we faithful in serving the committees? Are we faithful in serving this and that? We don't have one thing that need to be faithful to. That's Jesus Christ. He's the one that we need to be faithful to. He's the one that we need to serve Him daily. The willing folks, some people are willing to do church work. Others are willing for them to do it. It's easy for some to meet at the club meeting, but not at church. Too busy. But yet they can go down here to the bowling alley. Yeah, they can set aside an afternoon on the weekends or whenever and go to the bowling alley where they can get along with the friends that they have and the people, and they're going to get in there and they're going to bowl a little while. They're going to bowl a little while. Do they stop and pray before they bowl? I doubt it. They're not faithful to the house of the Lord. We need to have willing people that's willing to do anything and everything to build the church up. Easy to talk about what we'll do in the future. What about the present? You know, we can look ahead. We can have a vision. Oh, in the book of Proverbs, it talks about that vision. And we must have that vision, because if we don't have a vision, we will perish. We will just dry up and die. We have to have a vision. Gotta have a vision. And the vision will bring about two things. The future. We need to have a vision about the future. We need to have a vision about the present. The folks with a vision. Individuals that has a vision from the Lord, a vision of local needs. Look beyond the dollars. We need not to look toward a dollar. We do not need to look towards our pocketbook. We don't need to look to that. Why? Because God has everything in control. God owns it all, and He is all. So there's no need in me looking at how much we got to do this and do that. I mean, this is God's house. It was built for God to use. We don't need to worry about it. Let God worry about it. That's the reason we can't ever get anything done. Because we never allow God to work things out. Because we'll always get in the midst, and I'm the worst one. I always do. I always think I just let things go and let it be. And just say, Lord, here I am. You send me where you want me to go this week, and I'll go. You give me the mouthpiece to speak to people, and I'll speak to people. But as far as the church, as far as the money-wise, as far as the financial situation and the missionaries we support and everything else, I'm going to leave it completely to you because you know what it needs more than I do. Folks with a vision looks beyond the dollar. A vision of worldwide need. There's a whole lot of churches in Danville, Virginia. That they don't have a vision for this world and for missionaries. They just don't have a vision. But yet, every week, they deposit. Some deposit thousands of dollars. Anybody every week. And you go to them. Or if you ask somebody, as a member of the church, well, y'all support missionaries? No, we don't support the missionaries, but we support people right in this area with these drives and everything. I ain't finished. God's word says that. God's word says, hey, I want you to build a church and be faithful unto it. And I want you to send out missionaries around the world to give them the gospel. Because we have the gospel. We have preached the gospel. And the people now has got so hard-hearted about it that they don't even understand it anymore. That's the simplest thing that I could do in my lifetime was surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Why? Because the main one was there on the scene, and that was the Holy Ghost. Some people say, well, I don't like you saying the Holy Ghost. Y'all say it's Holy Spirit. Well, what is a spirit? Hey. I don't know people today. They're just so bogged down with what they want. And they don't realize if they just put the faith in God, God will lead them to exact position that they need to be at. The Bible says without a vision for us, the people will perish. The optimistic folks report of spies in Israel's camp. Somebody said it could not be done. Do you think we can do it here? Do you? Do you think that we can do the things in the upkeep of the church and not worry about the dollar bill? Let God worry about that. That's what he tells us. Over there in Malachi, when he's speaking about the tithes and the offering, he tells us that. Prove me wrong. You prove me wrong. In other words, what he's doing, he's asking me, I need for you to test me this week. I need for you to go out here and you test me this week. And as I go out there and as I test the Lord that week, the Lord will do what he says he will do. Why? Because I just put a test into the Lord. See, it's not always a one-way street. It's not always about what we can do. It's not all about that. What we can do. But with God, it's a two-way street. Have you ever heard the saying, God and one man is the majority? So, well, if we have God, if I have God on my side and I surrendered my life to him, what do I have to worry about? Because what's going to come to pass is going to come to pass because he just said it. God and one man. God and one individual. God and one church can turn the city of Danville and the state of Virginia upside down. But we have to do it God's way. We can't do it our way. The folks that are not lazy, God never uses lazy folks like Moses and Noah and Paul. They wasn't lazy. Had these been lazy, we would never have heard of them. If they was lazy, if Moses was lazy, and if Moses did not want the Lord on his side and to help him and what he needs to do, then Moses would have kept on stuttering. And he would not have trusted God one bit. Because see, he had to trust God even with his stuttering. Yeah, he stuttered. But with his stuttering, God says, Moses, I want you. Moses turned around and told God, I said, God, there's a whole lot more people I have that you can use than use me, because they can, when they speak, people can understand what they're saying. And God probably come back to Noah and Moses and said this. Says, yeah. Says, they can say the words where people can understand. They can pronounce the eloquent words and everything and the pronunciation and all of that. They can say all of that. But they don't have the heart that you do. You have to have a heart. You have to have a heart for people. The folks who are boosters, you like the church, tell others about it. We need to always build up the church. We need to always build up one another. We need to tell others about Faith Baptist Church. We just need to tell them how much God is blessing us. And just let them know what God is doing. Now, we don't have 100 people. If we had 100 people, we'd probably wouldn't have the missionaries that we had that we got now. Because people is going to go against you one way or another. So the more people that God gives me is the more that I have to look out for problems. You need to be like the church. You need to be like God's church. We need to tell others. So God's church can grow. And I ain't just talking about Faith Baptist Church. I ain't talking about the Tabernacle. I'm not talking about all these others. I'm not talking about the Pentecostals. I'm not talking about the Brethren. I'm not talking about the Independent Baptist. I'm not even talking about the Southern Baptist. I'm talking about the Kingdom of God. That's what we're supposed to build up. The Kingdom of God. But you know the reason a whole lot of people and a whole lot of preachers don't say anything at all about the Kingdom of God? And we must build up the Kingdom of God. You know why? You know the reason they don't say that? Because of Jehovah's Witnesses right here. Because they have the name on their church, the Kingdom Hall. That's the reason. We need the liberal. We need all kinds of folks in the church. We need the saved. We need the lost. We need the giving. We need other ones that don't give. We need all type of people to do God's work. Because what's going to keep us faithful? What's going to keep us in tune with God if we don't have these other things? If we don't have other problems? Just like your life and my life. Yes, we have sickness come about. Hey, the devil didn't put that sickness on me. God put the sickness on me. You know why? Because my faith was dwindling. My faith was dwindling to the point that I didn't have any. I get to the point I just won't have no faith no more. So yes, he put some problems on me. Where I come and I talk to him. I talk to him more each and every day. That's the reason he puts things on us. That's the reason we go through hardship and headaches and all of that with family and with jobs and stuff like that. That's the reason we have all them problems. Because God wants us to be stronger than we are. God wants us to be faithful than what we are. God loves us. God loves you and he loves me so much. So much that he is willing to do something to get our attention back to him. A whole lot of times we'll end up losing a whole lot because we just say, I'm sorry, Lord. I just can't do it no more. I can't get in it no more. The preacher said something in his message one Sunday, and I didn't particularly care for what he said. I know he was talking about me. No, you know who was talking to him? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit was speaking to him. And they blamed the pastor in getting information about the individual that he will bring it forth where other people can hear it. No, if you are guilty, if I say something and you are guilty, it's not because anybody told me something. It's all because of the Holy Ghost speaking to your heart and condemning you of that. The liberal folks, they are folks that don't want to ever do anything but lift up themselves. It's all about them, what they do. It's not nothing about what you do for the church. It's not what that missionary does for the church. It's not about what God does for the church. It's not about what Jesus Christ does for the church. And it ain't what about Jesus Christ died for the church. And then you turn around and you ask them, says, well, where did church come from? Where did church come from? Well, they just gathered there in the old days. And they started talking to each other. That's where it all started. No, it didn't either. It started on the day of Pentecost. It started when Peter was up there. And Peter preached the greatest message that's ever been preached. He preached it, why? Because God told him to. If churches was left to them, they would never be satisfied. We can't leave things. We can't leave God's work for other individuals to do. And we just sit back and see if they're going to do. That's just like a sinner coming forth and getting his face on the altar. And then praying. And somebody else will go in there and pray with them and lead them to the Lord. And we'll have some people like that in the very back, or maybe the very front row up here, or maybe the pastor, or maybe the deacon, or the Sunday school teacher, or one another, will say this. Let's see how long they last. Let's see how long they here in church. With that kind of attitude, with the kind of attitude that we have, they're not going to want to come back. And I don't blame them one bit. We don't need to be talking about them. We need to be lifting them up. But no, we want to talk about them. We want to put them down. We want to put them down because God, see, God just got a hold to them. But we want to put them down. If we didn't have these type of folks, any church today, we would be in a building that's set aside that has one room, has a potbelly stove in it. We'll have Sunday school there too. Then we'll have preaching right after Sunday school there in the same room. And we won't have the running water, no plumbing at all. We would have the outhouse. that we'd have to go to? Well, you know, I'm thankful for what God has given us. I'm thankful for what God has allowed me to be a part of. And that's Faith Baptist Church, this church. I'm grateful for that. And I love him for that. But these are the kind of folks that we need to build the church. I tell you what. I don't see how we could go and we could live with like these type of people in the church. We don't need to worry about nothing. But the only thing to Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Ghost wanted us to worry about. One thing. One thing only, and that's for that lost, hell-bound sinner. That's all he wants us to worry about. That's all he wants us to think about is them. That we can get them to Jesus. See, they have to be brought. And thank the Lord, we can bring them to Jesus. But then it's going to be up to them. They either choose Jesus or choose the world, one or the other. But we need to have a vision. We need to have a vision, and we need to have some of these people in the church, some type of these folks that the church can use day in and day out. Them type of folks can be used by the Lord on a Sunday during the worship hour or on a Monday at work, at Tuesday at work, Wednesday night service, Thursday. Yeah, we could go to the grocery store. There's plenty of people in there. There probably ain't nobody ever spoke to them about Jesus. What's wrong with us? Can't we speak to them? Can we? If we speak to them, maybe, just maybe, they may come. We don't know. We don't know if they'll come or not. But wouldn't it be great if we just, this week, if we was at the grocery store, and we just saw people and had the people there at the checkout and just asked, are you saved? And if they say they are, if they ain't either one, just ask, you can go to church in a while. And if they say no, so I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying for you, and I invite you to our church. It doesn't take much to come. Just come one Sunday. You give us an honest try, and you give God your honest behavior and your honest work, and he will show you the place that you need to be at. We never know. We don't know if they'll come or not. Have we invited somebody here lately? Have we? Oh, I'm going to leave that with you. Have you invited someone to Faith Baptist Church that doesn't go to church anywhere? Have you invited? Our Father, we want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And we do thank you for the Word of God. And I thank you for the precious, precious Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for you and what you are doing within the realm of this church and these people here. Father, I do thank you. I love you for that. I love you. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. I love you, God. Please, please do something. Please help us to do something. Help us to invite somebody that we don't know of. If we invite them, yes, they will end up coming. God, we need to fear you and not fear man. Father, we do thank you, and we ask, Lord, that you go with us this week. Be with us as we go out into the public. Help us, Father, that we may speak to people. That, Father, we can speak to them with love, kindness, gratitude. We can love them to death and help them to sense that type of love from us. That when we do invite them to church, they won't just come up and say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to come. I may not be able to be there this Sunday, but I promise you I'm coming. Father, we do thank you. And we love you on this side of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.